Welcome to Rom Book Pod, Inclusively Yours, a new weekly podcast celebrating inclusive romance, one trope at a time. I am Annika Key, and this month, our theme is education, as many of us get ready to go back to school or face our first fall not in school. Today, I am joined by Aria Marsden, a reader and reviewer for Smart Bitches Trashy Books, and Suzanne Crone of Love and Panels.
Hi, I'm Aria. I'm an Indian American immigrant, and I actually just graduated from college, so this topic is very relevant to my interests.
Hi, I'm Suzanne, and I run Love and Panels. I also review for Shelf Awareness, and I graduated from college a long time ago.
But we actually went to the same college.
We did. I forgot to mention that. Yeah, we both went to the same university.
I feel left out in the attendance.
But you live in the same state.
I live in the same state. Yeah, you live like an hour away. And when I was at that college, my boyfriend at the time went to school in your city. So there we go.
We're all connected. So yeah, so we're going to talk about education, romance, and all the ways that that connects to the books we read. So let's talk about school and education. Do you guys have any thoughts and feelings about romance set in schools and in education?
I actually don't read that much of it because so much of it is new adults and they're both like in their 20s and they're always about football players and people who I'm not like. And when I was in college, which was 3 months ago, I don't know. It feels weird to read about a lot of the college romances deal with people that it doesn't feel like me. Mm. I can't describe it. It's like always like these people are like going out to parties every single day. It's like always athletes. And that's like not a sphere that I ever occupied. So like, I always felt so weird reading that kind of school romance that I avoided it. But I like, you know, like the teacher stuff, the academic stuff.
You know, it's funny, like I work as a teacher and I'm in a school setting. So I have a love-hate relationship with this theme as a trope and a setting, because I think like you, we're hyper aware of where it doesn't match up to our reality. But also there's always an interest to see yourself represented in some small way in a book, in a character.
So for me, college was... it was a while ago, but it wasn't that long ago. But for me, I had like the year that I was 19 was super messy. That was when a lot of mental health stuff happened and you're out on your own. So for me, some of those new adult books that take place in college can be, it's like it calls back to a time that was really, really miserable for me. So I actually like reading about the like jocks and stuff because they seem to have a better time than I did.
So it's a way for you to revisit college, right? But in a positive way.
Yeah.
But then I just remember how much I hate sports.
Well, that's fair. But I feel like that's just all sports romance, right? That's not necessarily school sports. Another thing that I was going to say is that there are a lot of romances that I don't think of as being school set. And then when I was going through and like making this list, I was thinking, oh, wow, I actually do read a lot that are somehow related to schools. And for me, a bunch of them are like, they're like, say they graduated high school and then they went into the military for a few years and now they've come back to college. Right. So they're occupying something of like an outsider space because they're so much older. Like the one I'm listening to right now has it's a grad assistant. So she's 26. And then the male main character was in the military and he's finishing up his degree now and he's 28. Mm-hmm. So I think there are
untraditional student, a new path.
Yeah.
What book is that?
That's Getting Schooled by Christina C. Jones. She is one half of Girl Have You Read, which is a really great site if you're interested in adding more Black romance to your reading.
And absolute somebody to follow. Absolutely. Yeah, no, I think you're right. I mean, there's that element of seeing untraditional people in the educational background encountering in a different way. For me, and it's also just interesting when you see something that isn't your experience represented. Like I really had mixed feelings about Zoe Castile's Stripped at first, because in it. Robin is a teacher, but she's really disconnected from her teaching. So I sort of wanted to shake her, like, come on. But I also saw myself so much in her, like, lugging that big bag back and forth, and how your life sort of centers around being in and out of the school building. So I think there's all these sort of, we've all been in school, so we have that experience, but our experiences in school have varied so much. So we've talked a little bit about some of the tensions about school as a setting, you know, how it sometimes falls far from the reality we experience, but also it's a familiar place. And sometimes we want to revisit it in a positive way. I talked a little bit about teachers in romance. I mean, Robin in Stripped, but one of my favorite books from Beverly Jenkins also has a wannabe teacher in it, is Nighthawk by Beverly Jenkins. In it, Maggie is actually like a huge chaos creating character who's being chased around the West, and because people are out to get her. But one of my favorite parts in that book is that Ian Vance, the preacher, sort of lures her to his town and to an engagement by promising to build her a school. And I love that. Do you have any favorite teacher books that you want to talk about?
So going back to Beverly Jenkins, I think she does a teacher heroine really, really great. I haven't read Nighthawk, but I have read Rebel, the most recent book. And she is from Valinda is from the North, but she comes down to New Orleans just because she wants to teach. This is set post-Reconstruction. And like, she's just that good of a person. It's her calling. She wants to help out the people in New Orleans. And like, every obstacle that you can think of is being thrown at her way. Like, no one wants her to have, like, I think they closed down her school lodgings or something. Mm-hmm. And she's like, no, I'm going to figure out a way around this. And that just reminds me, you know how we talk about, like, how a lot of protagonists have careers?
Yeah.
And, like, we know they have a career, but then we never see it on page. I feel like a teacher is one of those really popular careers. Like, oh, this protagonist is an elementary school teacher, but then we never really see that on page or how it affects their lives. Like, people just use teacher as a popular career choice, but then, like, I find it lacking when they don't go into that.
Right. I think, and that's why I think, like, for Stripped, why it connected with me, where it wasn't, you know, I disagreed with, like, her teaching style and the reality of it, but she was teaching, and she was coming in and out of the building in a way that wasn't sort of just, like, cupcake.
I'm always free all the time.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, kind of on that line, I finished Jen DeLuca's Well Met, which comes out actually a month from today, September 3rd. So the hero in that book is an English teacher. And that does come up because the heroine is taking a part-time job at the local bookshop. And so he comes in to, like, all right, here's my summer reading choices. Can we make sure that they're, you know, copies for the students? And but so since it's summertime, he runs the Renaissance Fair.
Of course.
Right?
Natural secondary vocation for a teacher.
Yes. But so it all starts actually at the school. And there's this, like, really awkward scene at the beginning that takes place in the school auditorium as they're, like, getting all the high school students into their volunteer roles for the fair. And I was just brought immediately back to my, like, horrible school auditorium with the, like, orange carpeted, like, or orange cushioned seats, you know, like the ones that flip down, and they're, like, barely chairs. And so that felt like, yeah, the school isn't, like, the main part of it. But it's definitely, like, his teaching is a big part of him. And then there's actually a part later where they're, like, okay, so you have to be really nerdy to be into this, but they're quoting Shakespeare back and forth to each other.
As English teachers want to do.
Right, exactly. So for me, that was kind of like a nice balance between, like, I don't actually want to be in this school every day, especially since the book was about the Ren Fair, but also, like, you're reminded over and over through the book that he is actually an English teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it is, like, did he choose to be an English teacher, or did he kind of fall into this? Because one of the big themes of his life is that his parents left him the house because they didn't want to live there anymore. His brother left him the Ren Faire. You know, like, anyway, it's an interesting.
Well, and it's interesting you're talking about not being grounded necessarily, having it be grounded in his being an English teacher and whether that's part and choice in life. I was going to talk about, I'm reading Olivia Dade's Teach Me right now.
Yes.
And I love that she does not shy away from the school politics right off the bat. Because again, it's one of those, teaching and school is a real place and real things happen. And Olivia herself was a teacher at one point. So I totally felt like so seen in that scene where she's called in at the beginning of the book by her department chair. And she knows it cannot be good news because you don't get called in the week before school for good news. And they also like how she flips her switch. Rose does, for the sake of, like, if there's a student, a kid that's, you understand that's her passion and her people, even though she's so cold to Martin, she sees a student and she lights up. So I just love that.
Let me just say how much I love this book, because I don't think people understand. So I don't know if everyone has this teacher, but I have a kindred high school teacher, my 11th grade English teacher, who I still keep in touch with. And she was a teacher that I had lunch with. Like, my friends and I would go to her room for lunch every day for 2 years, right? And she also reads romance novels. So I finished Teach Me, and then I texted her saying, you must pre-order this right now. And then you must read it. And then you must tell me what you think. And then she loved it. And I, like, never do this. Mm-hmm. And the reason is, like, the teacher reminded me so much of this teacher. They're not even alike in, like, their personality, but the amount of care that they give to their students, even though, like, people had different teaching styles, like, personality, like, that's all different. But I think the amount of attention, the amount of care that Rose gives to her students, like, really struck a chord in me. Like, I've read teacher romances, and that to me was, like, really unique in this one.
Yeah, absolutely. You get a sense how much she loves her students and why she's there every day is for them. Now, I, as a school librarian, very rarely see myself in novels. There's plenty of librarians out there and plenty of teachers, but very rarely do you have a school librarian. And Priscilla Oliveras wrote one, Her Perfect Affair. And I really connected to Rosa in this book because she is someone who has a surprise, unexpected pregnancy. And is teaching at a very conservative Catholic school. And I used to teach at a conservative Christian school. And I know the pitfalls and of being in a sort of public position. For me, I got called up for recommending a book and I was sent to the school board because I recommended The Hunger Games to my students. And so I respected all, like, that, how Priscilla presented, you know, the tension of wanting and being in a classroom, but also knowing that, you know, you're being watched by parents and as a proper example and all that. Have either of you read any of those?
I love that book.
Yeah. I also love that she was never, like, forced to take on something, that she was really stood out by her choices with Jeremy and all that.
I can't remember, but isn't this the book where, like, the principal stood by her and the principal was like, I will support you to keep this job, even though she was worried about the community's response to her pregnancy?
Yeah, like the person who ran the school, the head of school, was supportive of her, like, understood the choices she was making and knew that he couldn't protect her necessarily from the school board, but that he was going to do his best. So I really respected that too, that it wasn't like big evil head of school wants to get her out or anything like that. Yeah. So do you guys have any other set books that you guys want to talk about?
I was just trying to think of school librarians and I was like, I don't know. This is really rare. I don't know if that I've read any. So I have tons of school set books. Mm-hmm. There's a lot about, like I was saying, about the older characters going back to college. The one after getting schooled that I was thinking of was Kate Cloyborn's Best of Luck.
Yes. I'm not being very helpful. You're just giving recs and I'm endorsing them.
Hey, well, you know what? Two people liking the same book is a pretty good rec. So that's the third one in the series. And she has a chronic illness. And so she was like kind of kept from going to college when she was younger because of medical stuff. And so now she's finally like, I am doing this and I am doing it for me. And one of the ways that she and the male main character bond is that she asks him to teach her photography. So I thought it was kind of an interesting way to like not quite go to that whole icky teacher student thing. Mm-hmm. But he's definitely helping her with that particular independent study.
Let's talk a little bit about student teacher.
Oh wait, can I add one more thing about the Kate Claiborne book?
Yeah.
So the education was very good in that one, but I like the lottery premise and how it related to the education, because in the very first book, they're all splitting a lottery ticket between the three friends, and they're drunk and they say hypothetically, so what would you get if you won the lottery ticket? And I think Greer thinks an education, right? Mm-hmm. And then this entire thing is like she's using all the money. I think she helped out her parents with some loans, but she's mostly using the money because she never had a chance to get one. Mm-hmm. And it made me realize, well, how easily I took my own education for granted almost. Like it was almost expected that I would finish high school, go to a college, get this degree. But the way she talked about it, she's in her mid to late 20s and she's like, this is a really important thing to me. So the entire premise of it just really struck of how, well, not just how easily I took it for granted, but just how important it is overall. So I appreciated the weight it placed on that.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that's a fabulous thing when we find in books on education. Like I was thinking of The Bright Test. I read that earlier this year by Helen Huang. And that's another one where the power of education as a life-changing thing, as a something that not everybody has access
to. It's freedom because she knows she can't get a job without it.
Right, right. It's so important. I mean, I think you see like it can open doors. It can make the change of like what kind of life you can have. So I love books that do that, that sort of make you think about, you know, I had the sort of the automatic, I never thought I would do anything but go to college and move on. Like it was also almost an expectation. And I remember running into my first roommate at college who was like, I don't know if I'm staying, you know, maybe I'm going to work at the grocery store. And it was so shocking to me because I'd come up from a completely different family background and where education was just automatic. So I love seeing people who reach for that in books, whether it's, you know, characters who go back for a vocation or go back and find a way to meet a dream that they never had a chance to meet before.
This is funny because me and my sister are the first generation to go to college. Mm-hmm. And my dad actively discouraged us from going to college. Like I had no financial support from mm-hmm. his quarter. And I mean, I guess luckily with a question mark at the end, we were in a financial position where they couldn't have helped anyway. So right. I got a lot of financial aid.
Yeah.
But it was very like I was constantly aware during college that like if this is not the thing that you want to be doing, you need to drop out and go do something else.
Yeah.
So there was no honestly expectation that I would. So for me, trying to read a book about academics, like I'm in a PhD program. I'm like, who are you? Are you a real human? So it wasn't until I started meeting some of my husband's friends who are like PhD candidates that I was like, oh, this is a real thing that people do and not just like, you know, Dr. Brennan on TV.
Well, and that's where I love books that will also address the sacrifice of that. I just finished E. Ottman's A Matter of Disagreement. And I know, Aria, you love this book, too.
And endorse.
In that one, Andrea, and Doris has the aria approval. In that one, Andrea Lord Ash has been basically cut off by his family, where they will not support his academic pursuits. So he has to like seek funding, and that's where a major tension that he has with Gregory is over the fact that they're in these rival academic fields, and one of them is hogging all the funding. And for him, it's a real thing where like he has a research assistant, Sasha, who's starting a family and can't stay in academics anymore because, you know, they've been thrown out of their rooms. So I love that because, yeah, I'm in the middle of financial aid drama, you know, not, you know, like I'm making sure that my kid has all the funding that they need for college. And I think I have so many resources, and there's all sorts of people like, how do they do this if they don't have right. those financial resources?
Yep. I have so many more thoughts on that particular issue, but that's not related to romance books. So
check her out on Twitter after.
Where I rant about libraries. There is actually a lot of books that have researchers at universities mm-hmm. or adjacent to universities, too. I was thinking about Trade Me, but yeah. no, not Trade Me. Trade Me is their students. Hold Me. Right. That's the one.
By Courtney Milan.
Yeah. And that's another one that has like an older, I don't want to say older because, you know, she's like 26 or something, right?
Right.
Non-traditional student going back like a few years later to get her degree. And in that case, it was because she spent the first few years saving all her money for reassignment surgery. Mm-hmm. But he's a researcher there, right? Yeah. And there's Letty from A Princess in Theory.
Yeah.
And so she's an epidemiologist. And there's a lot in the beginning of that book about like the way that she's treated as a Black woman in STEM, and particularly in academia. And like it had me like yelling, like, treat her better, you bastards. and then the first of Kate Claiborne's series is again, she's not like, she doesn't have the degree to be like a professor, but she's I forget what her title is, but she's like a lab assistant, but she's just basically just working with all of the,
she never got her PhD, I think.
Right. Yeah. And she like doesn't want to. And I remember part of the conflict between the hero and heroine in that book is that she's like, I really like what I do. I really like helping with the research, and I really like helping the students with their projects. And he's like, but you could be doing, have your own lab. And she's like, but I don't want to. Right. And I think that's a really valid thing too, that we don't see a lot of times in fiction, because we have this idea that if you are not constantly striving to be at the top of the game, that you're somehow like, that's less valid than.
Right. There's power hungry or ambition hungry character mm-hmm. always. And it's like, you can have reached where you want to be, and be content in that. And it isn't like you're lacking in something.
But it's also that really toxic saying that it's like, if you can't, you teach.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the dumbest thing in the universe. And most of the teacher romances I read, I would say, is a solid argument against that saying, because they all want to be there. They're not doing it just because they didn't get that PhD.
Right. Well, and especially in a high school or elementary school environment, right? Like, you are, I hope, right, at least in fiction, you're there because you want to be having a positive impact on your students' lives. And like,
really think of a good elementary school one? I feel like the ones I can think of, it's not really central to the plot. Like, they're just there to be an elementary school teacher, but they're not like, it's not like actually explored.
Their passion or whatever.
Yeah. It's not like high school.
Yeah, there's often that. Yeah, I think maybe it's because writers remember high school more. But I know Nalini Singh has an elementary school teacher in one of her short stories, Annie. And you get us, you know, you see her in a parent-teacher conference and sort of talking about, you know, sort of the way she tries to reach her students, whether they're human or changeling or psi. And I guess Judd from the Sight Changing books, he was an educator, an educator of like assassins or highly dangerous Psy kids. But it's also about, you know, he's about keeping confidences for them, protecting them from the trainers who would hurt them. So I think of those characters, and that Lily sort of captures that the important like caretaking heart role elementary teacher often has as kids are transitioning out of the home.
Anna, you completely derailed my entire train of thought now. I don't want to talk about education anymore.
Yeah, don't mention Psy Changeling around Aria, or you'll never be able to go back to your original topic.
You have to start your podcast on that. Oh, come on.
Okay, so your question like a long time ago was about if we had any other books that we wanted to recommend. And so I just wanted to take a second to mention how many YA, young adult romances are set, like they're literally set in school, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you can just list off a ton of them. But some of the ones that I've connected with best have been the ones where they're like, they're at that precipice where they're, let's say, junior or senior in high school, and they're trying to figure out who they are and where they want to go to school, or if they want to go to school, or if they want to take a gap year, or what their whole thing is. And I remember being at that point and being like, wow, you're asking me to spend so much money on this thing. Like, I'm 17 and I'm expected to know what I'm going to do with the rest of my life. And it's terrifying. Mm-hmm. And then you throw in personal relationships, like as far as a romance, and it just gets so much more complicated. I stayed with my high school boyfriend for the whole freshman year, and that was a thing. And so I do suspend some disbelief when I'm reading these, because I'm like, are you going to actually stay together through college? But
I don't believe the HEA unless they both go to the same college. I just can't. I know too many people who broke up with their high school relationship in like the first month.
Well, and that's why I love the second chance romances, where people reunite after breaking up for college or because of college, and then all come back to their hometown, right? Because I think that's a real natural experience.
So I was thinking about American Panda by Gloria Chow, which actually takes place, she's a freshman in college, but it's still in the YA space because she's a little bit younger. And there's a lot of like family conflict, like not fighting, but you know, so her parents want her to do one thing and she wants to do a different thing. And there's a boy, and
A boy can be summed up in every book.
And there's a boy. Hey, sometimes there's a girl, or there's two boys. Come on now.
True.
A lot of times. So I really liked the way that, like, she's not supposed to be with this boy. But they go to the same, either they go to the same school or they're, like, neighboring schools. Mm-hmm. And so that one, I'm not really sure where publishing draws the line between young adult and new adult. Right. So this one is like I said, at the very beginning of college, and it's in the YA space. There's I Love You So Mochi by Sarah Kuhn. And that one is like during her last spring break of high school, she goes to see her estranged grandparents in Japan. And there's a boy. But for me, that one, there's like a bit of an epilogue. And so you see like what's going on after she gets back to the United States. But part of their romance is that it's not that he tells her who she is, but the experiences that she has with him as they're traveling around different places in Japan, she kind of figures out that like what makes her happy. And it's not like, oh, he makes her happy and he's her future. It's more that she's like, because she's in this different place with this different person, she's allowed to explore who she is in a new environment. I thought that was really interesting too, because a lot of going to college, that whole experience is like you're out of your comfort zone. And that helps you figure yourself out. And that's a lot of the theme, like as far as college romances in general, I think.
Now, you read Pride by E.B. Sobol, right?
Yeah, that was really good.
And that was good. And I love that one of the major turning points in the story is when her older sister, who's come back from having been in Syracuse, makes sure that Zuri has an opportunity to visit the school that she's always dreamed of going to. Okay. I think it's Howard, right? And buys her a train ticket, a bus ticket. I think it's a bus ticket down to Washington, D.C. so she can go visit the school. And
that was such a good moment.
Yeah, that's such an amazing moment because it really makes college a real thing for her. And she realizes like what she's going to have to do to be able to stand out and how much she really wants to be there. And of course, she runs into one of the Darcy boys and that has interactions, but it's really sort of a defining moment of like where she's going to go in her life.
Well, so at that moment, it changes it from this like dream, right? Mm-hmm. This thing she's built up in her mind to the actual reality of it. And I really liked that. Yeah, there were some differences and whatever, but the dream was real now and attainable. And it's kind of like, I don't know, it was like a magical trip.
And I feel like she's going to be so much more focused in the following year because she knows what's ahead for her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also think in a lot of Asian, YA, East Asian, South Asian, Southeast Asian, mm-hmm. there's this added parental, I think it's true for everyone, there's added parental pressure to go to college and become mm-hmm. a doctor or a lawyer or an engineer. And that, I will never get tired of reading that, even though like some people might be like, oh, that's always the plot of these YA books. And I'm like, well, it's the plot of my life. It's the plot of a lot of people's lives. I don't mind reading the same thing of, oh, I don't know who I am, but I feel like my path has been set out in this career and I don't, right. And like getting into college is hard. So even though like I've seen people complain about how it's like the only thing they ever read in Asian set YA books. And I'm like, that's okay. It can be the only thing we read about.
So there's actually the male main character in I Love You So Mochi actually wants to be a doctor.
What a rebel.
So that's part of the plot. She's like, wait, you actually want to do this? I'm so confused. Not like your parents are making you. And so I feel like she plays with that little trope a little bit, which was cute. Okay. So yeah, I feel like there's this great giant world of young adult romance that has mm-hmm. to do with, there's like the high school set, you know, and it's all just in high school, right? But then there's also those other ones that are in between high school and college that those ones really have that kind of heightened conflict for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, do you guys have any last recs we want to make before we wrap this up? Because we're hitting our time.
Okay, I just very quickly want to rant about Student Teacher. And it's going to be
let's frame that. Okay.
Yeah.
So we've talked about school as a setting, school as a vocation, but there is that big trope that some of us can't read because of our life situations, Student Teacher. Now, Aria, you have really strong feelings about Student Teacher. You want to tell us a little bit about your feelings?
It's not, I don't even hate it that much. I always feel like I'm defending it and I don't want to be in the position where I defend it. And yet I so often end up in that position. Mm-hmm. And my feelings are basically, yes, we all know it's problematic and bad. It's like there's an authority, there's an age gap. The student is often more vulnerable. It's unfair to other students if there's preferential treatment. And in real life, all the examples you hear about are so gross and so problematic that mm-hmm. in fiction, it's hard, right? But I do think there's like a 2% gray area where it's actually good. And maybe it's 5%. I haven't done the math. I need to go catalog all the student teacher romances and figure out the exact percentages. But so I know Suzanne has read one of them, right? The Helen K. Diamond book novella, His for the Holiday, in the Reindeer Anthology. Because you're the one who wrecked it to me.
Wait, so, but...
That counts.
Oh, it does?
It does.
Okay. So I was going to wreck this on the podcast, and then I looked it up, and I don't think it's actually for sale anywhere right now because they took the collection down.
Oh, but okay. That's
good. But if you're lucky enough to have bought the Reindeer Anthology.
Right.
I'll loan it to you. I have it. Just contact me.
Yeah, so I bought it too, and there's a whole bunch of stories in it. But yeah, I went back to try to, and it's not, she didn't re-release it. A lot of the authors re-released their stories as standalones. Mm-hmm. I forget their names, but is the younger hero actually ever the older hero's student, or are they just like?
No. Well, that's what's so brilliant about it. It's the grad student and the professor who has no power over their academic track. Mm-hmm.
So that sort of hits that gray line for you. Like they might still be having like an uncomfortable power differential, but it's still not like direct control over. I mean, I read a book this year where that is skirted also too. It's a science fiction romance called Spacer Cinderella, by Adrienne Rose, I think.
Yeah.
And it's probably one of the best depictions I've seen of academia ever. Because
I'm just endorsing.
And I mean, it just sort of really captures the competition, the minutiae, the politics. And but in this part thing is there's they meet at a bar, they have this sort of encounter, and it's the traditional like, of course, he's going to be your boss later on kind of situation, because she has her professor, who she's a graduate student whose previous degrees have not been recognized by this particular like college planet. And she's trying to finish her work because her work is not like an academic pursuit so much as an opportunity to try to save her home planet. And so she's trying to get the funding so she can save her people. And
it's basically Harlequin presents in space. That's my pitch to people. Like, that's all you need to know. Like, forget even the plot. If that sounds appealing to you, you should read it.
Yeah, and I mean, what I loved about it is that the power dynamics were right in the open, and they were addressed, and it's a tension. It's not like so many books where they're not addressed. She has real issues with the fact that he becomes her boss, and they have to set all sorts of like ground rules, and he has to be like, I can't do this, but I want to, kind of stuff. So yeah, if you want sort of academia in space and sort of fun twist on the Cinderella story, try Spacer Cinderella.
I think people who don't know much about academics don't realize how in real life common the grad student and the professor relationship actually is. Mm-hmm. So for example, in my university a couple years ago, they put down a mandate that grad students were not allowed to date professors, period. Mm-hmm. And there was an outcry because about half the relationships in the university were grad students dating professors, not in their track, not in their field, mm-hmm. like not people who had any power over their career or their funding or whatever. But if you think about the ages, the grad students are like 22 to 40.
Yeah.
That's a big age difference. And professors, like I've had like 30-year-old professors. Like the age difference is not a big deal at that point in time. It makes perfect sense that they hook up.
Well, and it's a time where people are starting relationships, and often how many people have workplace romances. So there's that element too. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Now, and my very last rec. Okay. So yeah. I had rules. Okay. The rule is basically nothing can happen when you're actually under the direct power of the professor. And I think it's there can be private lusting and like in your own head, there can be sexual tension. But one person cannot ever actively reveal their emotions or like flirt or intentionally flirt, because then I do feel like it's a violation of that power and they're just waiting for the school year to end. I think there has to be real angst privately, but it can't ever be direct. And the second rule is I don't like it when they're like 18 or 19. Mm-hmm. I know it's silly. Like, what's the difference between 19 and like 22? I think it's a big difference.
Yeah, there's a lot of growth.
And the rec I wanted to give was Off the Ice by Piper Vaughn and mm-hmm. Avon Gale, which is MM. And the professor is, I think, Puerto Rican. Latinx. And this is a great example because the student is a hockey player who never graduated because he went into the league. So he's like coming back and he's like 24, 25 and he's taking this summer course. And this is a perfect example of this because once he's done with the class, he's basically done with school. I even feel uncomfortable when they're done with the class, but they're still in school. So it's like, it's best of it that they totally graduate before hooking up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I love that book. And maybe, you know, I'm not saying it's not like totally unproblematic, but I think it lives in the gray area for me.
Well, great. Thank you so much. I think, yeah, I think you've hit on some of the things that make some of those stories feel okay because, you know, there's, and you've broken them down to rules, but which I think is awesome. And so you.
But it's all about how you feel, right? Like the rules are just words on a paper. When you read it, you feel uncomfortable.
Right.
I think, describe it.
Yeah. I mean, like I've read some books that you sort of, maybe it doesn't break any rule, but it still feels wrong because of the way the story plays out. And I think that's where a good author can really make some premises that seem icky work. So I want to thank you both for coming on today and for joining me for this opening podcast. Our producer is going to make sure that all our recs are in our show notes. And I would love to hear from all of you who are listening. What are your favorite education, school-based romances that you wish we had talked about? All right.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Rom Book Pod, Inclusively Yours, a weekly podcast celebrating inclusive romance one trope at a time. All our recs and mentions in our show today will be listed on our show notes and available to follow on our Pinterest board for the episode. If you like weekly recommendations on inclusive romance, please take a moment to subscribe. You can also follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest at RomBookPod. That's RomBkPod. Thank you for joining us, and until next time, happy reading.